Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vin Masana. We are filming live today from Longwood High School, joined by the head coach, Ryan McSherry. Ryan is entering his fifth year here. They just had a great season in 2019. They finished with a record of 18-8, another good playoff run for them. Ryan's really done a great job here. So let's start off there in 2019, coach. You know, I was at all those games. It was a pretty remarkable three-game series that you guys had against Connecticut. So what was your biggest takeaway from the 2019 season?
You know, I think we had a fantastic team. We had a hot streak the previous week prior to our Connecticut semifinal series. Mm-hmm. Main thing is our bat just kind of went cold, which is unfortunately just part of the game. And we knew that Connecticut was a talented team, but also I think, to be honest with you, I think we also were one of the more talented teams on paper with them. So yeah. For us, we knew that was a big series.
And that's why it was a great matchup. I mean, you guys were, you know, player for player, we're right there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And just going over some of the games in particular, that game one, you guys got out to a bad start. That wasn't the way you wanted to start the series, obviously losing, but it was, you know, to no shame, it was against one of the best pitchers. Joe Savino, obviously, I've written a lot about him. He's at Elon now. But what's your perspective as a coach when you're facing a pitcher like that? What do you think of him?
So facing a kid like Joe Savino, I got nothing but respect for him. Although he's a phenomenal pitcher, I would honestly go so far as to say that he was the best high school arm I've seen in my time as the head coach here. Works very quickly, keeps his pitch count in check. You know, I think he was 88-90. I think he touched 91 that game. Mm-hmm. Spots up well. So usually kids who have that type of velocity in high school, you know, you want to see where the command is, and he has both of them. And he also did a fantastic job mixing in a nice slider. So, you know, phenomenal pitcher. But like I said, I always give credit where it's due. And, you know, tip my cap to him. He did a great job. And falling down early in the game in the first inning, it's kind of a tough road climbing back up to defeat a pitcher of that caliber.
Yeah, so you guys were down 1-0, but you were able to come back with a dominant pitcher of your own with Danny Gargano in game two, and you won 1-0. So try to get back in that frame of mind when you're up, you know, late in the game. Obviously, it's win or go home at that point. So what were you thinking as Gargano was getting later into that game?
You just got to go to your next best arm after that, and you can't question it. So we brought in, obviously, you guys are probably aware of Tommy Ventimiglia. Had a great sophomore year for us, and we were able to use him in a variety of roles, whether it was closing games out or, you know, he also had some big starts for us. But, you know, like I said, our bats went cold in that series, but we were able to, you know, manufacture a run and win 1-0. So even though we had some big bats of our own, you know, we still have productive qualities as well that we can squeak out a 1-0 win.
Mm-hmm. And then now it's win or go home at that point. How tough of a decision was it for you over who to start in the game three?
You know, it's always a difficult decision. But in our program here, we always put the best guys on the field. And, you know, the question we always answer is what's in the best interest of the team. Mm-hmm. So we always, like I said, we don't really evaluate whether someone's a senior, junior, sophomore. We always emphasize talent over grade. So we went with Tom again, and I think he had a tough time just getting his bearings in that first inning. I think they jumped up to a 2-0 lead, but he did settle in and shut him down very well. It was a 2-0 score, actually. It was the finishing score there. Mm-hmm. But we had opportunities, too. We had an opportunity for a bunt to try and get down. We didn't execute that. And then they picked off a guy on first base. And then we had the top of our order rolling over after that. So little things that you can reflect on that, you know, if we did differently, you know, maybe we have a different outcome.
Mm-hmm. And now just going back to the series before that, the semifinals, you guys had another obstacle facing Smithtown East. You know, right there in terms of talent, they had 7 or 8 pitchers go on to commit to college or are currently there at this moment. So that game three, you guys had to beat them to advance, and James Myler, big home run. I'm sorry, that was a game before that, but let's talk about that quick. Another good pitcher, Doug Goodwin, you were going up against. He had real good stuff that day. What do you remember from that game?
Great velocity, same thing, attacks, hitters, very aggressive on the mound, and we were in a 0-0 game going into the top of the seventh, and, you know, same thing, we try and focus on our hitters, emphasizing production and quality at bat. So, just because, you know, you may not get the hit that you want, doesn't mean that you can't have a productive at bat in terms of working the count, making the pitcher go an extra, you know, couple of pitches as well. Mm-hmm. So leading up to that James Myler home run, the previous batter was Jose Matos, had a fantastic at bat, mm-hmm. Fouled off a lot of pitches, ended up working a nice walk late into the game. And I think it kind of caused the next situation where James was able to come up and get a pitch that I think Goodwin was just trying to get over. And James is a phenomenal hitter as well, great kid, and hit the ball to right center field, and kind of a tough situation when you have a run scored on you in the top of the seventh, and you have your last three outs coming your way.
Mm-hmm. And now I just want to talk about that 2019 graduating class that you had, because I remember when you told me about them 2 years before that, you know, when they were all sophomores, but they kind of took their lumps, and then last year was their time to shine, and they answered the bell, 18 wins. So can you tell our audience about some of those individuals that really stood out?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, the 2019 group as a whole, I'm not just speaking on behalf of Longwood, I think across Suffolk County and the players that we've faced was a phenomenal group. Obviously, mm-hmm. you just referenced Smithtown East with Goodwin, Will Kennedy. Mm-hmm. You have our group, Kyle Roush, Matt Insizer, Jose Matos, Steve Murphy, Jake Dannenberg. But phenomenal talent across the board. You have Max mm-hmm. Nielsen, Ward Melville.
Yep.
I can go team for team.
Comac
as well. You know, another good program, West Islip. Mm-hmm. I think the 2019 class, generally speaking, was just a superb group. Very exciting baseball because of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. League One, I mean, last year, pretty remarkable amount of talent. You know, all the teams that four teams made the playoffs that year. Since you're so close to it, I just want to get your thoughts on what it's like going to battle, you know, on any given day, you know, what you have to bring to the table to come away with a victory.
You know, we always like to have the conversation with our players that nothing's going to be given to you. No one's going to just hand you a league title or any victories. Mm-hmm. And especially in our league, I said we have great opponents, you know. We don't fear anybody, but we do respect them. And, you know, when we play a team like a Ward Melville, you know, we want to play them. We know that we can improve ourselves. You know, steel sharpens steel. So mm-hmm. when we're playing a team like Ward Melville, it's a very intense environment, but, you know, we can only improve and get better from that. And I'm sure they probably feel the same way about us. Mm-hmm. And same thing, you have a team like Sachem East, phenomenal talent. Obviously, they had a great team last year, and this year I expect them to be a high-caliber program as well. Mm-hmm. Pat Med, no pushover, great program, well-coached from top to bottom. Even William Floyd this year, too. They got some good players. Obviously, Tommy Verga is a tank of a human being. I think he's a very good ball player and also a nice kid. I've had good encounters with him. And then also, too, you know, you also have the toughness of playing a team like Central Islip or Brentwood, where some people may look down at their opponent, but I think the challenge in that is, can I train my mind? Winning is a mental state. Mm-hmm. And just because you're going into a game like that, you have to avoid playing down to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think high school kids can succumb to that where, you know, oh, we're playing this team here. They're not as good as us. But that's how you can lose in the playoffs. You know, you could be – we were the 7 seed last year playing. I think it was the 2 seed in Smithtown East. And, you know, you can't ever say, oh, well, we're the 2 and we're playing the 7. Or we're the 7 and we're playing the 9. They're a lower seed. Then,
yep.
You know, if you have that type of mentality, it doesn't matter – if it's baseball or life, you're just not going to be successful. So, you know, we love our league. I think it preps us for the playoffs. And we look at every team we play in a way that can facilitate growth for our program.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the playoff seed, and that's always an interesting thing. Just what are the different variables that go into it? Because you guys were the 7, and really, you know, 18 wins or how many, when 14 wins during a regular season. So it's always like a mystery to me how that gets determined.
Good question. It's always very tough. Things are always going to be political. We try and look at, you know, I feel like what a team's record is versus playoff opponents. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't even know all the teams as well. So, you know, naturally you're trying to cast yourself in the good light. We were the 7 last year. Talent-wise, we probably were a top 3 team in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to look in the mirror. I think, like I said, we could have performed better. There's certain games you nitpick when you reflect back on them that we said, oh, man, we should have won that game. And had we, you know, won those games, maybe we would have been a better seed. But like I said, that's, you know, our our responsibility, and we're accountable for that. So
yeah.
It's no one else's fault but our own.
Yeah, and really it doesn't even matter after the first game. It's just a matter of who gets home field advantage after that.
It is. The home field advantage is big. And obviously, it's also kind of exciting, too, seeing the brackets come out. Also, near
all
Mark,
that day off.
I'm Googling Section 11, yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, it's very exciting to see. And this team's that, you know, we never really played Smithtown East. We never really played Walt Whitman. Mm-hmm. Satcham North was the previous year, actually was in our bracket. But Hills East we played last year, too. We've seen them over the last couple of years. So it is cool, too, because you do get to see teams that are out of your league, and it's good exposure.
Yeah, like I remember being in high school, you're refreshing all day, and then you see we were the number 5, and then it's like, oh, we're going to play, you know, a weaker team. And then you end up seeing that it's Hills West, and oh, wait, they went 14-4 the same thing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's exciting. You get to see different kids around the county that you're not used to playing against.
It's fun. So let's talk about this year, you know, 2020 season right around the corner. You got a lot of returning guys. You know, you graduated a big class, but – as you mentioned, there's some 4-year starters, 3-year starters that you're going to be playing, that you're going to have on the field this year. So can you just, we'll start off with Tommy, just because we glossed over him a little bit. Stony Brook commit. I'm assuming he's going to be anchoring the rotation this year.
Yeah. Phenomenal pitcher. Great kid. Looking to try and get his bat in the lineup as well. Same thing I said. We try and cultivate our guys at how can they get better. And one of the biggest things is when you have a successful season, mentally, you need to continue to progress. So we come back to the conversation of leadership. And I always say that leadership is an X factor for any team. You can talk to any coach, any sport. Teams that have leadership always outperform those that don't. Unfortunately, leadership is something that has to be cultivated and practiced. So we're expecting Tommy coming into this year. Obviously, he's a talented kid. Kids usually flock to those that are talented. And I think he's going to do a great job progressing in terms of how he works with his peers and helps them to elevate their game. You have Tommy, you have James Myler, who we mentioned before, 4-year starter. He's been up every year. First kid I've ever had playing as a ninth grader, getting in the lineup. I can't say enough great things about him. Fantastic human being, great kid in the classroom, gentleman. He deserves everything he's gotten, so I'm very proud and happy to have him as part of my program. He's a great kid to be kind of like the poster boy of what we do here.
Yeah. Any other impact guys you want to mention that we could expect to see?
We have a great catcher in Nick Classy. Nick's another kid who's come a very long way. Has worked his butt off, put himself to get in phenomenal shape. Very good receiver, very good blocker. His arm strength has continued to tick up, so he's progressing with that every year. And same thing, we're trying to work on him with his approach at the plate. We think he can deliver big things for us. You got Kyle Allen, third baseman and a pitcher, committed to New Haven. Another very athletic kid. I think he's going to do great things for us on the mound.
Nice clean arm action.
Yes, good arm action. Yeah. Great kid. You know, shortstop, you got Brian Monahan, who played a little bit of second base for us last year. Very good arm. Going to play at SUNY Ulster. And then second base, like I said, we have a few guys competing for spots. We have Tyler Ologio. We have Justin Classy. We have a 10th grader in the mix as well and some juniors as well. And first base, familiar guy, Joe McDonald was up last year. Great JV numbers. Same thing, you know, the trend here is these are all great kids. And I think kids that are open to coaching will buy into what we're preaching here, which is that the team is always first. It's a we over me mentality. You know, you got Giuseppe Vicinamini, another fantastic kid.
Nice Irish name.
Yeah. Very polished hitter, easy going. Everyone loves him. You know, a lot of these kids are easy to root for. And I think when you have a team like that, there's that chemistry factor. There's that leadership factor. This team is reminiscent of our 2016 team, I think. We have some impact guys, but we also have some guys who play certain roles that help the team produce. And there's that word again, production as well. So I'm excited about this team. I've known these kids for quite some time as well. And I think everyone's excited when we go outside and get our workouts in.
What's the schedule looking like this year? When do you have your first scrimmage? How many scrimmages you got?
We have quite a bit of scrimmages. So I think we start with Bayshore on March 20th. A lot of the coaches we scrimmage, we usually have a good relationship with them. So every year we'll alternate who's home, who's away. It kind of helps with the bus schedules. But we have Bayshore, who I think is going to be a very good program this year. Well-coached program by Mike Herbst. We play Rocky Point. Obviously, you did your write-up on them the other day. Another fantastic program, fundamentally sound. New fields in the mix as well. We get along with Coach Joyner, great coach. Mm-hmm. Shoreham Wading River, another local program.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go with our series. We have CI. Then we go to William Floyd. Then we play Brentwood. And then our schedule kind of gets a little bit more challenging where we go into Sachem East, PatMed, a bye week, and then Melville. We actually love our bye week, and we also love that we end the end of the season with Melville. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting series trying to look into a league title potentially, and it's the week before the playoffs, so it's I think it's a nice tune-up for both programs.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so hopefully the weather's great, and things are looking good.
Awesome. What is your philosophy with the scrimmages? Do you try to get a lot of guys in? Do you use it as a litmus test, almost like a little spring training?
So we try to get our guys who are predominantly starters more at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
Those at-bats add up over the course of the season. By the end of the year, they may accumulate another maybe 20 to 30 at-bats, which may be more than our opponents are acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
We also give them rest and gives our other guys time in the field who get at-bats as well. So guys who may not be getting playing time, mm-hmm. they do get an opportunity to showcase themselves too. And it's in-game situations. It's better than showing up on a Saturday and maybe having maybe a lazy BP or
mm-hmm.
IO. We're actually getting in-game situations. We'll pull kids up in the infield. We'll make different scenarios happen. Things that we can kind of test out where the pressure's not necessarily on us, but we can see how guys do in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And even guys who may not be getting innings during the week also get to showcase themselves as well. And we have the conversation with the guys who throw in scrimmages that if you are showing us enough quality innings, maybe you get the mm-hmm. opportunity in a league game.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you guys have had a good JV program for a while now. What is your involvement with that? Do you try to monitor the top players there? Do you like to be aggressive with calling up the top sophomores, or would you rather caution and give them their playing time at the JV
level? Our JV coach is Scott Dakers. He's the man. He does a fantastic job. He knows the ins and outs of the game. He's been very successful. They're competitive every year. They've always had a winning record since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I try to let them do their job. So I try not to be too hands-on. I don't micromanage. But at the same time, we're also we have a direct line of communication. We communicate very well with each other. We do our best to identify impact players, and I think a team is successful when you can promote impact guys. So
mm-hmm.
we do these same conversations even with our junior high programs as well. Currently, we're in the fourth year of our youth winter clinics that we've been running, and every year the numbers are going up. This year, I want to say we had close to 80 kids attend the clinic.
Wow.
So we do these on Sundays. And, we get to expose ourselves to players that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have met them until they're in ninth grade. Now we're meeting kids who are in third grade.
Mm.
And you got to think those kids, when they're seniors, and we've known them for almost a decade already.
Yeah, like being a 10-year varsity star.
Yeah. So, you know, the bond is built. The other thing that's also important is the expectations. The same conversations that we have with our varsity guys, we also have these same expectations for them. So they know kind of what we're looking for them to do as they rise up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
But we're excited. I think we have a very talented JV team. I think our junior high teams are phenomenal too. They're very well coached by John DeVitti, former varsity coach, former state champion in baseball, and Andrew Schuster as well. And we're very excited about the kids that are funneling into school baseball too. I think our 7th and 8th grade group is phenomenal. And you know, guys who are listening, keep working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, nothing's handed to you on our program. Everything's merit based. You have to earn it. So
mm-hmm.
Keep working. We'd love to give you guys credit as we're doing right now. But you know, keep working and getting better.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end. Coach McSherry, thank you very much for your time. 20 minutes. I know you got, you know, you had a full day already with having the winter workouts today. But always a pleasure to catch up with you and to hear talk a little baseball.
Yeah, same thing. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast.